This is something that has never happened before. The Vatican this morning publicly displayed what's believed to be bone fragments from St. Peter and Apostle of Jesus Christ and the world's first pope.
Was Peter the first pope? I want to give you three reasons as to why we know or how we know that Peter was most definitely not the first pope, and the Roman Catholic Church is lying and extremely and completely wrong about Peter. You say, how do you know that Peter was not the first pope? Well, number one, because Peter had a wife. Popes have no wives.
According to Catholic.org, the first written requirement for priests to remain celibate and without children is in Canon 33 of the Council of Elvira in 304 AD. Just 21 years later, Roman Emperor Constantine didn't like that blanket ban on marriage, so some priests did have wives and others didn't. That lasted a while, until the 11th century when Pope Gregory VII issued a decree for all priests to be celibate.
Are you there in Matthew 8? We've been looking at it. Look at verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he, Jesus, saw his, Peter's, wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says this, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. If you have a mother-in-law, it's because you have a wife. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law because he was married. Jesus, the Bible says, he saw his wife's mother, Simon's wife's mother, Mark 1, chapter 30. And the point is this, Peter had a wife. Popes have no wives. So therefore, Peter was not a pope. Let me just say this about this doctrine, because the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the spiritual leadership, which they call priests, but now they're starting to call them pastors, that they should not be married, that they should be celibate. They teach that the priest should not be married. They teach that as they go up the ranks, they should not be married. And the Pope himself is not married. And this is their spiritual leadership. They say our spiritual leaders should not get married.
There is a practical advantage to having a celibate clergy, and that may be part of St. Paul's thinking when he, for example, tells St. Timothy to be a good soldier for Christ and not to get entangled in civilian affairs, which would presumably include things like having a family. We also know that Paul himself recommended celibacy, and not just for ministers, but he certainly practiced it himself, and he makes a point of that in his epistles.
This is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible actually teaches that in order to be a pastor, you have to be the husband of one wife. But this doctrine that teaches that forbidding people from allowing them to get married, that is a wicked doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we're about to learn about these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 3, forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. When someone forbids other people from getting married, according to the Bible, that is a seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. He says, forbidding to marry. That sounds like the Roman Catholic Church. And then he says this, and commanding to abstain from meats. Doesn't that sound like the Roman Catholic Church with their Lent? And commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So, if the question is asked, was Peter the first pope? Well, you must consider that Peter had a wife and popes have no wives. But here's the second reason why I don't believe that Peter was a pope. And the second reason is this. Peter refused worship. Popes receive worship. Notice Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. Acts chapter 10, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. Now remember, Cornelius has seen a vision and he's been told to bring Peter and that Peter's going to bring this message to him. And the Bible says, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. So Cornelius falls down at the feet of Peter and he begins to worship him. Notice how Peter responds, verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Peter said, "I'm a man just like you. Don't worship me, because the only person that should be worshipped is God." But yet today, the Pope, he's not like Peter. He's not like Peter who refuses to receive worship. No, the Pope receives worship. I mean, just watch the Pope as he goes to all these different places. He's got all sorts of people groveling at his feet, falling down before him, kissing his hands, kissing his feet. The popes receive worship, yet Peter refused worship. He said, "I myself also am a man. Don't worship me. Don't bow down." When you bring up this point, here's what people will say. They'll say, "Oh, they're not worshiping the Pope. When they bow down in front of him and grovel at his feet, they kiss his big toe and they kiss his hands, they're not worse. They're just bowing down. They're not worshiping. They're just being reverent and bowing down."
The objection assumes that bowing before something or someone necessarily involves worship. But this is not true.
Today, even we as Christians, we've been fooled by the liberal Christians out there who tell us that worship is something you do in a service, right? They have their worship service. And what do they do in their worship service? God is so amazing. Here's the problem with that. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that as being worship. You know that all throughout the Bible, worship consistently is bowing down in front of someone. I could show you 100 verses. I'm not going to take the time to do it, but let me show you a couple. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 14, "And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.'" And Joshua, notice his response, "fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?'" See, in the Bible, worship is bowing down before God. It's not standing up at a rock concert with your lighter. That's not worship. Worship is bowing down. It's getting down. Prostrate in your face before his feet and worshiping him. And here we're told that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Go to Psalm 95. Look at verse 6. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Why does the Bible say that? Here's why it says that. Because that's what worship is. Worship is to bow down. So when Cornelius bowed down before Peter, Peter said, "Stand up, I also am a man like you." And he refused to allow someone to bow in front of him because he refused worship. But you know what popes do today? They receive worship. They allow people to bow down in front of them. And listen, we should not bow before anybody except God. But let me give you a third reason why I do not believe that Peter was the first pope. Now, in Matthew 16, this is where the Roman Catholics take their teaching that Peter was the first pope and that the church was founded upon Peter. In Matthew 16 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "He saith unto them," Jesus is asking a question to his disciples. He asks this question, "But whom say ye that I am?" He just got done asking them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him all sorts of answers. Now he's saying, "Okay, but whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He affirmed the fact that he was the chosen Messiah and that he was deity, that he was the Christ and the Son of the living God. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" What is Jesus referring to? What is it that flesh and blood did not reveal to Peter, but my Father which is in heaven? It was that statement, that truth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, Jesus is referring back to the statement that Peter made. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter responds, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know that statement? You know that truth you just said, Peter? That was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. That was revealed to you by my Father, which is in heaven. That's the context that we enter into verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now the Roman Catholic Church will say, see, there Jesus is looking at Peter, and he says, you're Peter, and upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I will prove to you that that is not what Jesus was saying. When Jesus said, upon this rock, he is referring to the truth that just came out of Peter's mouth when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You say, well, how do you know that? Here's how I know that. Because all throughout the Bible, the rock has always been God. Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Notice, my God. The Lord is my rock. Then he says, my God. My God is the Lord. My God is my rock, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Say, oh, well, that's just one verse. Okay, how about verse 31? Same psalm. Psalm 18, 31. For who is God? Save the Lord. Now, when it says save the Lord there, what that means is except for the Lord. He's saying, who is God? Save the Lord. Or who is a rock? Save our God. He says, who is a rock? Except for our God. You say, why? Because the Lord is my rock, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Look at verse 46, same chapter, Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. All throughout the Bible, the rock, all throughout the Old Testament, the Lord, God, he has been the rock. But yet the Roman Catholic Church will say, no, Peter is the rock.
Sorry, when Jesus is speaking of the rock, he's really referring back to Peter. You can see this, for example, in Craig Keener's commentary on Matthew. In our own tracks of Catholic Answers, we've shown this in much older commentaries, such as the work of D.A. Carson, a very famous exegete. The problem, of course, is that the words are different because Peter can't be referred to. Rock is a feminine noun in Greek. And you can't, if you call Peter the same, if you use the same name, you're essentially calling him Patricia.
Okay, there's a problem with that. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The problem with saying that Peter is the rock is that it goes in complete contradiction of what Jesus said. John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Simon, Peter, Cephas, these are all names for the same person. Jesus changed his name. He says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. You say, well, what does Cephas mean? Well, the Bible, it's its own dictionary, which is by interpretation a rock. Is that what it says? No. Which is by interpretation a stone. See, Peter, the name Peter means stone, but it doesn't mean rock. It would have been blasphemous for Jesus to look at Peter and say, you're the rock. Because these believers would have known that throughout the Old Testament, the rock has always been our God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Peter. Is that what it says? That rock was Christ. You say, I thought God was the rock. Well, Jesus is God. Christ is God, so he's the rock. And when Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Thou art Peter," he wasn't saying, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock." He was actually saying, "Remember, Peter, you're just a pebble. You're just a stone. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this truth that you just declared, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." See, the church was not founded upon the stone of a man named Peter, but the church was founded upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is this, was Peter the first pope? You need to consider the fact that, number one, Peter had a wife, and popes have no wives. Number two, Peter refused worship, and popes receive worship. But number three, Peter was a stone, Cephas, and the church was founded upon the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.